Let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Father, we just thank you for the way that you turn lives upside down. Thank you for Alice's story that she shared this morning of your work in her life, and reflective of many of us here of how you've had to change our perspective, change our direction, because, Lord, we are self-focused and we love our own way, and we need you to turn us upside down, to bring us to that place of humility so that we might see you for who you are, and to realise our need for total dependence on you, upon your Son, to be our Saviour. Today, just help us to understand a little more about how baptism reflects the wonderful truths of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. So today we come to witness the baptism of Alice as she is baptised. She testifies of her faith in Jesus Christ as her Saviour from sin and the Lord of her life. And baptism is a very simple, signifying action, but it testifies to great and profound truths and realities of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because baptism testifies to our belief in Christ, it is really a profession of faith, and it testifies to six distinct truths as we consider the simple act of baptism by immersion, going under the water and then coming up out of the water again, and why Jesus commanded his disciples to go and baptize those who will be his followers. Baptism is a testimony of our faith, what we believe as Christians, what we hold to as believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when we are baptized, we are professing to the world these six distinct truths that we believe and hold to. This simple act of baptism by immersion provides the image for us of the reality of Jesus Christ and what he has done to accomplish our salvation. They say a picture speaks a thousand words, and so it is with baptism. It provides a picture for us, an illustration of what salvation truly is. And what baptism first testifies to us is that Jesus Christ came to earth as a human being and lived on this earth for 33 years. Baptism primarily depicts for us what took place when Jesus died upon the cross 2,000 years ago. But it was as a human that he went to the cross. He was the God-man, and he came into this world to give up his innocent life for us in our place. Therefore, baptism presupposes the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. He came from his eternal glory into this world for a purpose, and that purpose was for the redemption of mankind, so that people could see what God was like and how they could have a relationship with him. And so we have verses that we look at so frequently at Christmas time, like Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, which tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Unto us a child is born. Jesus Christ came into this world as a human being. John's Gospel tells us the same thing in John chapter 1. In verse 1, he tells us who Jesus Christ is. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then we go down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus Christ, the Word, the Son of God, became human. He became man. He became flesh. And so baptism speaks to us about particularly his death upon a cross and his resurrection. But for that to take place, he had to come into this world as a human being. And so he did. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who has existed from all eternity, with the Father, with the Spirit, has come to save sinful human beings from the consequences of their sin. And so Jesus had to come as a man to deal with our sin. And that's what Matthew's Gospel speaks about in chapter 1, when he speaks about the coming of, or the promise of the coming of Jesus to Joseph and to Mary. And we read in Matthew 1, 20 to 23, "But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And so this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.'" Jesus came fulfilling prophecy into this world as the God-man. He came as a human, born as a baby, so that he might die upon a cross for our sins. Which leads us to the second distinct truth that baptism testifies, is that Jesus Christ did die for our sins. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he gives a very clear gospel expression as he explains what the gospel is. And he says these words, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received," and in verse 1 he calls this the gospel, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." The punishment that rebellion against the Almighty God deserves is death. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us. And so each one of us is guilty. We're guilty of rebelling, of going our own way. We have sinned against God. But the wonder of salvation, the gospel, is that Jesus Christ has come as a perfect, innocent man and taken the sin of the world, yours and mine, and borne the brunt of that punishment upon himself. He died in our place as a substitute, so that we who are willing to trust in him, in full dependence upon him, can have our sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, and have a new beginning with him. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And going down under the water in baptism signifies being identified with Jesus in his death on the cross in our place. The third truth that baptism testifies to is that Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. A tomb was a place for dead bodies to be put. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, it says, "And that he was buried," after he had died according to the scriptures, he was buried. The fact that Jesus was placed in a tomb with all the appropriate burial preparations reflects the fact that he was dead, and that his body was treated as any person who had died in those times. Listen to what Pilate said in Mark chapter 15 and verses 37 and 38. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Then down to verse 42. "Now when the evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb." Baptism testifies the fact that Jesus died and that he was buried in the tomb for 3 days. Going down under the water signifies that death and burial as Christ did for each one of us. The fourth distinct truth that baptism testifies to is that Jesus Christ was raised to life again on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. Jesus Christ was raised to life again. The picture that baptism provides is one of resurrection. As a person rises back up out of the water, the imagery of the one who is risen from the dead testifies to the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead after 3 days. Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 to 8, we have that reminder that Jesus came back to life again. He was raised from the dead. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Baptism pictures for us the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the candidate for baptism's identification with him in the death that he died in our place. And then fifthly, baptism testifies that Jesus Christ is alive today. As the person who comes up out of the water as a baptized candidate steps out of the water and goes on to live their life in dependence on Jesus. After the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to his disciples in the house where they were gathered and revealed himself to them, showing that he was truly alive. And yet he had the scars to prove that he had been truly dead, crucified to death on the cross. Luke 24, 36 to 38, 36 to 48. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus spent 40 days walking the earth after he was raised to life again, spending time teaching and instructing his disciples about his return to heaven and giving them responsibilities to spread the good news about the sins he came to forgive and the life that he came to give, eternal life to all who would believe and trust in him. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians said that the 500 people who saw him after his resurrection at one time. So many people saw him living in his resurrected state before he went back to heaven. But in Acts chapter 1, we see that picture of the disciples being with Jesus when he returned to his heavenly realm. The former account I made, O Theophilus, Acts chapter 1, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Baptism testifies of the humanity of Jesus, testifies of his death upon a cross. It testifies that he was buried in a tomb. It testifies that he's raised back to life again after 3 days. And it testifies that he is still alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And then lastly, baptism testifies that Jesus Christ's word is truth, and his word is to be obeyed. John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." If we love Jesus, we'll want to do what he says, and baptism testifies to the fact of obedience to the commands of Jesus that he gave to his disciples in Matthew 28 when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so today we come to remember that God loves us so much that he sent his Son into this world so that we might not die and perish in our sins, but that he would save us and bring us hope for the future in relationship with him. And so today we witness this baptism to testify both to the person of Christ, to his life, to his death and resurrection. And we witness the testimony of Alice, as we've heard from her, and now as she goes through the waters of baptism, that she is being obedient to her desire to serve her Master and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and follow him in baptism in this way. And so we rejoice in the opportunity to share in this time together of what baptism signifies for each one of us. Let's pray as we conclude. Father, we thank you for the fact that baptism speaks so much about who you are. It testifies, it signifies, it pictures for us that imagery of Calvary, the cross of Christ in his death, burial and resurrection. In his humanity, he gave up his life. In his eternity, he offers eternal life. We thank you that we can have eternal life in him. Thank you for Alice and her willingness to follow your command and go through the waters of baptism and testify to these witnesses today that she belongs to you. We rejoice with her today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have a song?